Al Baker is going to be with you next week. I actually work with Al Baker on the NeighborLink board, and it's my pleasure to serve there. He's a great speaker, and I'm glad you're having him come. I'm sorry, though, I do not have PowerPoint this morning. I spent a lot of time preparing it, but for some reason it's not connecting with your system. So that's the bad news. The good news is that Laura played a song that I'm actually wanting to do at the end. And I just love it when this kind of thing happens, when people that have not talked connect together with exactly the same course that I had been thinking of. So that's a good sign. This morning I want to talk to you about, you probably picked up on the theme of the opening song that we sang this morning, "To God Be the Glory." To God Be the Glory. Bruce Wilkerson, I don't know if you know that name, back in 2000, wrote a book called The Prayer of Jabez. I don't know if anyone ever read it. Anybody? Okay, a few of you have read. And then he did a rewrite of it back in 2005 called Beyond Jabez. There were some people that didn't really understand the message that Bruce Wilkerson was trying to bring through in his book, and so that's why he did the rewrite and explained a little bit more. But if you want to read it on your own, it's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my borders, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring pain." And God granted what he asked. When you think of this prayer at first, you might think it's kind of a selfish prayer. Asking God to bless you and to enlarge your territory. I mean, give you more of what you already have. Here's what Bruce said in page 23 of the book. Blessing is not about sneezing. You know, when someone sneezes, you say, "Oh, God bless you. God bless you." When you're parting, "God bless you." He says, before we can ask for God's blessing with confidence, we need a clear understanding of what the word means. We hear "bless" or "blessing" intoned from every pulpit. We ask God to bless the missionaries, the kids, and the food we are about to eat. It's something Grandma says when she hears you sneeze. To bless in the biblical sense means to ask for or to impart supernatural favor. You need to remember that. If you're taking notes this morning, supernatural favor. When we ask for God's blessing, we're not asking for more of what we could get for ourselves. If we could get it for ourselves, we don't need to ask God. We're crying out for the wonderful, unlimited goodness that only God has the power to know about or give to us. And what Bruce Wilkerson tried to explain as he wrote this book, there were really four parts to this prayer, and I'm so sorry the PowerPoint isn't working, because that would have been up there for you, these points. But the point number one was he prayed that God would bless him. He really prayed to God, said, "God, give me supernatural favor. I need something that I cannot do on my own. I need you, your blessing. I need your favor." Number two, he said he prayed that God would enlarge his territory or his borders. Basically, he's saying, "Lord, I want more than I've got." In other words, I want more influence. I want to have more opportunity. I want to have more resources so that I can be a bigger blessing to you. I don't know if you've ever prayed that prayer, if you've ever thought that thing. Maybe you're happy with what you have. But Jabez wasn't. He said, "God, I want more so that I can be a bigger blessing to you." When you really look at this prayer, it is not selfish whatsoever. Number three, he prayed that God's hand would be upon him. He's really asking for God's power He's asking God to help him. When you step out in the things of God, to do things for God, you could sometimes expect backlash. Not everybody's open to receiving what you want to do, what you want to give, what you want to say. And so he's asking God, God, I need your hand to be upon me. I need your hand to go with me. And the fourth point that Bruce brought out was he prayed that God would keep him from evil. We don't know very much about Jabez. His name was interpreted to be born in pain. I mean, what a heritage. He brought his mom had a very difficult birth, bringing him into this world. And so she named him Jabez, which means to bring pain. Not a name I would want to have had. But when you have resources, when you have land, there are people that want to take what you have away from you. It's no different then as it is today. When I went away, I just had Mr. Russell Jr. install some more security lights around my house. Maybe, I don't know, I'm just getting a little paranoid, but I just hear more and more break-ins. Not that I have a lot, but there are people that would love to take the little things that we have and sell them and turn them into cash, buy drugs, whatever. And so he's praying to God, as you bless me, as you increase what I have, I need your hand to be upon me to keep me from evil. Because there will be people that might just come against me. And I want to have a close spiritual relationship with you. I never want to ever, you and I, to become distant, really what he's saying. But when we think of God's blessing, we think of, God giving us something, God giving us some kind of a gift, maybe an increase in salary or an increase in the Canada pension plan. You say, wow, I've been blessed, you know. We're blessed with our health, to have good health. Is there anyone here that's never, ever been in the hospital overnight? Oh, my. Every one of you have been in the hospital overnight? Really? Is that what you're saying? Because, you know, there are people that have never, ever been sick. I mean, what a blessing that must be, to never be sick. To have good health, to have wisdom. It's like, thank you, God, for the wisdom that you've given me. But when you think of it, it's kind of selfish, isn't it? God bless me in that way. But we have so much more to be thankful for. We have to be thankful for forgiveness of sin. We are thankful that we have a hope of heaven and spending eternity with God, the hope of heaven. So the question is, why did God grant Jabez this prayer of blessing, which on the surface seems to be a little selfish? And why, what is the reason for God blessing him anyway? Well, I think the main reason is found in the scripture that we read this morning, Psalm 67. And I don't know if you're able to open that up again in your Bible. I just happen to have it here this morning in front of me. And what I want to do is to compare Psalm 67 with this prayer of Jabez, because I see quite a close similarity. Actually, Psalm 67 probably goes a little deeper than Bruce Wilkerson did when he was talking about the prayer of Jabez. It says in verses 1 and 2, God be gracious to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Really, what the psalmist is saying, God, I want you to bless me so that I can glorify you. Bless me so that I can have more power, more influence, more knowledge, more wisdom to be able to be a blessing to you. He's not saying, bless me, God, so that I can be comfortable. Bless me, God, so that I can have more resources. God, bless me so that people will look up to me and say, wow, you're an important person. We should honor you. We should respect you. That's not what he's saying at all here. He's not even primarily saying, God bless me so that I can bless others. That's not what Jabez is saying. He's not saying, God bless me so that you give me money and I'll be able to give to the poor. Bless me so that I will be able to increase my business and people will look at me and say, wow, what a successful farmer you are. That's not what he's saying. And even though that is okay, I mean, that's a good prayer. God bless me so that I can bless others. That is not at all selfish, but that's not even what he's saying. He's saying, God, I want you to bless me so that I can bring glory to you. If you remember nothing else this morning, please don't forget that. The reason God gives us gifts, the reason God gives us abilities, is not so that people can look at us in esteem and say, wow, if I could just be like Ken Powell, if I could just be like George Crawford, people would look at me. That's not what he's saying at all. He said, God, I want you to bless me so that I can draw people to you. That is the main reason. Verse 1. And you notice verse 1 and verse 7 kind of conclude the same way. In verse 7, it talks about the word fear is mentioned there. In verse 7, God bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. That word fear is not to be afraid, to be scared, to not want to be in God's presence. It's to mean to look at God in awe. Look at what God has done. We hold him in awe. I mean, in the church, we call it a miracle. Like, how could that have ever happened if it wasn't for God? And when people see those kind of magnificent things happen, people stand back and say, wow, how did that ever happen? It had to be God. It was impossible in the natural. We see that also in Exodus chapter 14, verse 31. They feared the Lord, and they put their trust in him. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of, I can't believe I did this, but my wife recruited me to be involved in the Vacation Bible School that the Christian Reformed Church does. They needed a storyteller. So they had this 75-year-old storyteller. And I'm okay telling the story, but I tell you, it was exhausting. It was exhausting because we're out in the desert and we had to act it out and dramatize. We walked out in the desert and we saw this Red Sea. And we had to open up the Red Sea. And we walked across the Red Sea. Kids are all following behind me. Can you imagine if you had been there? Actually seen this happen. I mean, the children of Israel have been doing a lot of grumbling and a lot of complaining. God was continually performing miracles, but they were so taken up with their own situation that they didn't realize that God was blessing them. You know, sometimes God is blessing us every day in ways that we don't even know. Because we don't stop to think about it. And when the children of Israel crossed and they looked back and they saw the victory, it says they feared God. God in awe. God, how could you have ever done that? Pharaoh and all his evil soldiers all drowned. I mean, they saw that happen. They knew they could never make that happen. It was God. They were in fear. And that's what Jabez's prayer was. That God, somehow through my life, I want to bring glory and honor to you. This really is the reason that God blesses you. Whether you believe he's blessed you or not, he really has. And that's his desire, is that you would bring glory to him. I mean, think of Jesus before he went to the cross. He's in the garden. I want you to know, he's in the flesh. He's in the human body. He did not want to go to the cross. No more than you or I would want to go to the cross. And he has this dialogue with God the Father. God, I don't want to do this. And the answer comes in John chapter 12, verse 27. Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Father, don't make me do this. And then he says, no, it was not for this very reason. Is it not for this very reason I came to earth? Is it not this very reason that your heart is still beating this morning? Or is it just because you live a healthy life? Is it just because you eat the right breakfast and you exercise? Is that why your heart is still bleeding? Beating. He says, Father, glorify your name. This is why I came. This is why I'm here. Then a voice came from heaven and said, I have glorified it. I will glorify it again. I have glorified you before, Jesus, and I'm going to glorify you again as you follow my direction and the plan I have for your life. Even in your death, you will bring glory to me. That's what the Father said to Jesus. Even in your death, you will glorify me. Sometimes we think of Jesus as a kind of a heavenly social worker. You know, I volunteer at Chatham Hope Haven, and one person we're looking for right now is somebody to do client services, someone to help these men that live on the street to be able to do some of the day-to-day things that we do. Some of them have totally lost their identity. They've lost their birth certificate. They've lost their social and security number. They don't have an address. Try to get a bank account when you don't have those things. So we need a client service person that can come and walk them. I imagine also you need to remember that many of these men have totally fried their brains with drugs. And so there's mental illness issues. So they just can't think things through sometimes the way you and I can. But we look at God sometimes too, just as a social worker. You know, God, serve me. God, provide for me. God, make me feel comfortable. After being away, my wife lowered the temperature on the hot water tank. Don't tell her I told you this. But when we came home, she, instead of turning it on, she turned it right off to the point where the pilot light went out. We had no hot water. That was very uncomfortable. We want hot water in our house. And then we want cold water when we want a drink. You know, God, we need hot water. God, can you take care of that matter for us? God says, I want you to glorify me with every blessing that I give you. It's not about you. It's all about me. That's why I created you in the first place. Yeah, I want to have a relationship with you, but I want to bring glory. I want you to bring glory through your life. And that's the chief reason we're here. As we look at this text, it mentions a God blessing to glorify his name amongst who? Well, who is his name to be glorified amongst? Amongst the church? Amongst other Christians? Amongst people in Chatham, Kent? He says that your ways may be known on the earth, that your salvation may be known among all the nations. This is really a missionary call. This is why we give to missions. We're not just concerned about ourselves. We're concerned about people around the world. This psalm really is a missionary call. Then it says, let the peoples praise you in verse 3. Let the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples praise you. Now, you know, when I see that word peoples,
I don't know what you think when you look at it, but at first it almost seems like there's a grammatical error. Because in school, I remember being taught that the word person is the singular, and the word people is for plural, right? But this has peoples. It almost seems like it doesn't fit. It almost seems like there's a spelling error until I go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And it says, after these things I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could count from every nation and all the tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lord, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. See, it's God's plan and God's purpose that no group, no culture, no peoples would ever be left out of this call for salvation. God wants to make sure every culture gets reached, every language group, every person, every age, so that no one could ever stand before God on Judgment Day and say, I didn't know. I never heard. There was no one around to tell me about Jesus. And that's why I didn't give my life to Him. And so God's doing everything in His power to make sure that we get it and that we reach out to all these different people's groups so that God would be shown, that they would see God and they would be without excuse. And what is the impact of this people's group, of this word peoples? It says, may the people praise you, O God. May all the people praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. Praising God brings gladness and joy. To bring gladness and joy. If God blesses you and God answers your prayer the way He did Jabez's prayer, His desire is for you to glorify Him. And you may be saying, Pastor Ken, how can I bring glory to God? How can I make God more glorious, more glorified than He already is? Well, you can't. I might as well sit down. Because you can't. I wish my PowerPoint was working this morning because I had some great pictures there I wanted to show you. One of them was a microscope. If I had a microscope, most of you took science or biology when you were in school. Do you remember looking through a microscope? You remember doing that? You looked at a little bug and it kind of blew it up. You looked through this thing. Telescope, something like the Hubble Space Telescope, that focuses in on that star. It helps us with these eyes to be able to see how big it really is. Because the telescope doesn't make it larger. It makes it clearer and easier for us to see, to show us how magnificent it really is. God says, that's what I want you to do. I want you to leave this place. And I want you to help people see my glory. And the things that happen in their life, it's not just a coincidence. It's just not an accident. It's not just luck. It's God's blessing. And God says, I want you to bring glory to me. Like, there are a lot of good people in Chatham, Kent. We have more agencies that do acts of kindness and service for people, like probably not too many communities. I know that on authority because I know, serving as a police chaplain, there are a lot of people that find their way to Chatham, Kent from other communities. And when I was in victim services, I was given this huge manual of resources that are available for people that need help. There's a lot of help. And so people know that, and they come. They come. They come to Chatham, Kent because they know there's a lot of help available. I work at a men's shelter, as you know. I had a guy ask me the other night, why do you do this? And he kind of caught me by surprise. I really wasn't sure how to answer it. I volunteer. You volunteer? Yeah, you must get paid. No, I don't. You come here to serve us? Yeah. Why do you do it? I ask you the same question. Why do you do what you do? Why does your heart go out to helping people? So, well, God told me to do it. But you know, it's more than that. When you think of it, God has done so much for us. You can't help but give back. And so I didn't just say, well, I'm a good person and I want to do good. No. You see, this is a Christian-based ministry called Chatham Hope Haven. God has done a lot for us, and we want to give back. You know what? This man walked away shaking his head. I can't believe it. I can't believe there's people that do that. Because there are people that do good, but they love it when their name appears in the newspaper, you know? And their picture is taken standing by the mayor. Or Dave Van Kesteren, or Rick Nichols. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've done. Jesus said, I want you to do it for me. I want you, through what you do with your hands, and what you do with your feet, what you do with your mouth, what you do with your life, I want you to bring glory to me. I want you to be an avenue to help people to see God through me, through what you do. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, so whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all. You could probably complete this verse. Could you do it with me? For the glory of God. For the glory of God. Matthew 5, verse 16 says, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Our number one purpose is to bring glory and honor to God through our lives. And I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. If you think it's going to be easy, then you're going to be discouraged. You're going to get upset. I had to pick up a man in my car to provide transportation for him. I saw him coming to my car and oh my goodness. He looked so pathetic. And then he got in my car. I could hardly stand the stench, the smell. And I thought, why am I doing this? I'm retired. You know what I'm saying? Surely there's something else I could be doing. God says, whatever you do as unto me. You do as unto me. Laura played a song. You didn't hear the words to the song. I'm going to ask Justin if you would put it on, or Jason. I want you just to listen to the words of this song. It's sung by The Wisnettes, the Southern Gospel Quartet. Just listen to the words for a few minutes. True. Something happened to me last year. I could have died. Most of you know, I think I might have shared last time, I had an aneurysm, my aorta, which was on the verge of rupturing. And if that wasn't enough, I found out through a CAT scan that I had a cancerous tumor in my kidney. And there were some complications and ended up taking out the whole kidney. I know other people that have had less serious surgeries and they died. And I keep asking God, why am I here? Why is my heart beating? And God said, I want you to bring glory to me. To the little things that you do. Not big things, okay? I don't do anything big. I just do little things. I pick up a man in my car and take him to an appointment. I do not like working in the kitchen at Chatham Hope Haven, but yeah, I'll make a peanut butter and jam sandwich if we run out of food, because I can do that. It's not a big thing. Other people cook beautiful dinners. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Don't let anybody walk out of here and say, I don't have a gift. You have a gift. When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, he gave you a gift. You say, I don't know what it is. So that's another subject. That's another sermon. Discover what it is. But God's gifting you gifts to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. I could add, if any of you work with your hands, you could do that to serve God as well. That's what people do. Some come and they don't talk to the men. They prepare a meal in the kitchen and put it on a plate and the men come and eat it. There are other people that come during the day and they clean the building. I don't even know who these people are. There are some of the volunteers that come in. Whatever gift they've given them, gift of hospitality, a gift of helps, a gift of speaking, they come and they do what they can do. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And here's the cap that caps it all off. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. One day we're all going to stand before God. God's going to say, thank you for accepting my son Jesus into your life. Come on in. See what I've prepared for you. Oh, before you do, let me ask you another question. What did you do for me with the life that I gave you? What did you do for me? God already knows the answer to the question, so you don't try to make something up. God says, I want you to bring glory to me. You're still here. I'm not calling you home today. Bring glory to me. Would you do that? Father, we feel so inadequate sometimes. We wonder, what can we do that can bring glory to you? God, I ask you just to speak to us individually today and this week. There might be some sitting here this morning just a little discouraged and not even realize that they've already done things to bring glory to you. It might have been a simple thing like just praying with someone or baking something, helping them in some way. And we never realized, Lord, that this would bring glory to you. But that's why we really did it. We didn't do it for ourselves. We never even thought about doing it for ourselves. So God, use every moment that we have, every opportunity that we have to bring glory to you. There's so many people, Lord, that don't know you as their Lord and Savior. And in some small way, Lord, bless us so that we can be a blessing to you and bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Turn with me in your hymn books to 393. This is your missionary call this morning. Take my life and let it be.